Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 610 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We got, 7 days? We're a week out. 1 week out from Christmas. This week, the Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, or GPCC, GPCC. It's their acronym. It's not an acronym you could really say out loud. They got together and they had a legislative priorities luncheon. And at the luncheon, their guest speaker was a guy named Derek McGee, who is a lobbyist in Tallahassee, very capable guy. I did not know him, but, you know, said a lot of things that were kind of, you know, nerd stuff you probably wouldn't care an awful lot, just kind of going over what's happening in session and what we're likely to see and all that. But one thing that he mentioned was that, you know, how we're working on these 8 filed property tax bills that the House has filed. 4 of them have moved to a second committee, and I think 1 is now to a third committee or going to the House floor. Anyway, he made a comment about that I thought was interesting and I had not realized.
What's important to know about property tax is that whatever the House and Senate does pass, they come to an agreement on anything, it goes right to the November ballot, right? And so that's important to know and understand. Because of that, though, you're going to also hear the governor speaking a lot about property tax, because whatever they pass as a legislative branch, he doesn't play a role in that as far as him signing anything.
And either I knew and forgot or didn't know, but that's a really savvy insight, because if the House and the Senate give 2/3 is what the Constitution requires, if they give 60% support to a ballot referendum or a joint resolution, the governor can't veto it. The governor has no influence over it. I mean, the governor can talk, but the governor doesn't get to decide, so it goes straight to the ballot. So you know how he's been criticizing the House for putting all of these different measures together and trying to confuse people? And my answer has been, well, what is your plan, sir? And the Senate still hasn't said anything yet. Like, we don't have any idea what the Senate wants to do. But Derek is saying that, look, the governor, the reason he's kind of talking about this is because he knows he doesn't actually have any power to shape the outcome unless he gets ahead of the thing, you know, now. Which is, again, I give you that as just a fact to keep in mind. Now, it'll have to get 60% on the ballot in order to pass, or any of them will have to get 60% on the ballot to pass if there are more than one. Okay, so Todd Thompson, who is the president of the chamber and, you know, comes on the rap and fills in for me when I'm gone sometimes, he asks a good question, which is, well, which one's going to pass, sir? You are the Tallahassee handicapping expert. Which one's actually going to pass?
So you mentioned that the House has 8 different pieces of legislation dealing with property tax reform. Any prediction on what might happen?
Representative Salzman is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Because, you have a state representative in the House and she can talk about what's going to happen and he doesn't want to say because he doesn't know and he would rather, you know, it's funny, right?
Come on out, Rev. I do want her to add to this in all honesty. That was a joke, but I was all serious because she's there. There are 8 bills by 8 different legislators. So they filed, 8 bills got filed, 8 passed the first committee, 4 moved to the second committee. And then 1 most recently moved to the third and final committee, 209. But I would love for her to give her perspective as well on this, how things are. She's ready. She's always ready.
I was born ready.
Sure. So Michelle is never shy about taking a mic. In fact, she's going to be filling in for me next Tuesday. Alex Andrade is going to be filling in for me on Monday, and Michelle's going to be filling in for me on Tuesday. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I love when they've filled in the past. It should be really fun coming up with session soon. So a lot of stuff they can talk about. Anyway, so, Michelle Salzman says, okay, well, here you go. Here's what you need to know.
We created a whole process over the summer where the members led the initiative. The members said, we're going to take it and run. And the speaker said, go, you know, whatever you come up with, I'm going to support. So they came back with a lot of ideas. And the leadership team said, well, one idea isn't necessarily better than the other. We don't really know what the whole state of Florida thinks. Let's let them all file their own bill and then we'll figure it out. So the intention never was to pass all of those bills. The intention was to actually let the process work itself out and let the members provide input and feedback, and as they get from their constituency, as well as the feedback they get from people like you in the room. And so
It was meant to be a kind of a chaotic process, but let's let the people talk, let the people play, let the representatives file, and let's see what happens.
Anticipate if I were to, you know, have a crystal ball, which I don't, but I'm pretty good at this stuff by now. You'll see a couple of bills hit the House floor. I don't think you'll see all of them, and we do not know what the Senate is doing at the moment. That's a true statement. Last year we banked on knowing what the Senate was going to do based off of conversations and handshakes, and at the end of the day, everybody parted ways. Nobody did what they said they were going to do. And so even if we have had conversations with the Senate, we're not going to tell you that we know it's going to work, because we have no idea.
So the Senate hasn't said anything, even in the past when they have said things, they didn't do what they said. So I don't know what to tell you about what's actually going to happen here, because the House can't send it to the ballot. It actually has to be both chambers have to agree. So but she actually says something fairly interesting coming up. We'll come back to this in just a second. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Michelle Salzman, our state representative, was speaking at the chamber luncheon on Tuesday. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, all look good. Highway 29, 90. I'm not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Frontier Motors, for more than 25 years, has been helping people find good quality used cars. You know, Dave Ramsey has always recommended them. I have recommended them for as long as I've been a customer. I mean, we were basically looking to test drive a Honda Odyssey, and finding the Honda Odyssey at the time to test drive was really weird. We didn't want to drive the new ones because they had changed models. Okay, and we didn't want to, there was no point in driving the new generation when we wanted to buy the previous generation. And we know we were going to get about 6 months out. We were about 6 months away from needing to buy a car, and that's what you do. You shop ahead of time, not when you're hungry, but when, you know, you can take your time. And also, you couldn't do the pre-owned certifieds because what would happen is they'd come in dirty, they wouldn't let you drive it dirty, and then they'd clean it up. But by the time it was cleaned up, they'd already committed to other people that bought them in advance, knowing that's what they wanted to buy. I'm like, mother of pearl, I'm just trying to drive a car. So we found one at Frontier Motors, and it happened to be the color we were looking for, and it happened to be the trim level we were looking for. And we drove it, and we're like, oh, cool. You know, okay, you know, we'll see you in 6 months, and probably not this car, obviously. And you're like, well, do you want to see a price? I'm like, I mean, not really, but I guess I won't be rude. Oh, that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit? Sure. Can you give us a day to think about it? Sure. Can you come down a little bit more? It's a day later. Can you come down a little more? Sure. Can we buy it? Sure. I mean, like that was the extent of our discussions with them. So we bought this great car with about 12,000 miles, a year young, that came back off of a lease into Orlando, and they bought it through an auction, and we have a sweet car because of that. We called it our unicorn at the time. So it's just easy. Good cars, good prices, good people. They want you to come back again and again because you're so happy the first time or two or three. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1, speaking 2/3 or so, more actually than that, of Escambia County, but, you know, the north of Escambia County. And she's talking at the chamber luncheon on Tuesday about the likelihood of any of the proposals for property tax reform passing. And, you know, there's a gaggle of them. There's 8. 4 advance, 1 advance. She says a couple will make it to the floor. We'll see. The Senate hasn't talked yet. That's the background now. If you're just joining us, here's how she continued.
For property taxes, another crystal ball, if you want to know, and I don't care if it's printed. I'm transparent. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Every single amendment constitutional amendment that we as a legislature put on the ballot in, let's just say, 20 years, how many of those have passed? And you didn't answer because you didn't know, but that's the answer. None.
So when they put ballot initiatives out, they don't wind up passing historically. So
while everybody's really worried, you know, oh my gosh, what if this one, what if this one, what if that one? How many of you know a first responder? Raise your hand. How many of you, okay, put your hands down. How many of you know a government employee? Raise your hand. How many of you know a hospital employee? Okay, how many of you know of a government employee, a hospital employee, a firefighter, a police officer, or any of those people that are going to vote to never get a raise? How many people? Oh, well, there you go.
Because if property taxes get decimated, there's not going to be any money to give any of them raises. There's actually one of the proposals, I forget which one it is, that it might be several of them that specifically say you can't cut first responders, you know, pay in order to make your budgets work. Okay, you may not be able to cut it, but there's no mandate to give them more salary in the future. And if the funding source gets destroyed, then they're not going to have more money. And that's what she's saying, is there will be no money for raises if this winds up happening. And therefore, how will any of this stuff get passed? Because, you know, the firefighters and the cops and the nurses and the, you know, the EMTs and the government employees are going to figure this out. And they're people who depend on, you know, government money in one way or another. I don't know about nurses fitting in that, but anyway, you know, and they're going to figure this out and they're going to make the point to the people, and they and their friends are not going to vote for it anyway. And so she comes back, she says, okay, so of these eight that everybody's terrified they're all going to pass and it's going to, you know, dramatically change the revenue picture for your counties and your cities.
So I believe we made the threshold pretty high to pass an amendment on the Constitution, and that was intentional. The Constitution is a sacred document that should not be altered unless it's absolute. So my prediction is even if we have two, one, three, or five, none of them are going to pass. And that's that.
So she says she doesn't control the outcome, but her belief is that even if they get on the ballot, they will not pass. And historically, you know, even initiatives that are popular don't pass. She's right about that. That, you know, even this last time, we almost got ones, related to marijuana, and I think abortion was the other one that came real close. I could be remembering wrong, but you know, they fell short because 60% is hard to do. So she's like, everybody's assuming property tax cuts are going to pass. She doesn't assume it because she thinks they won't happen.
I can't predict the future, but I can tell you that we're going to do the best we can for the people and what they're asking for. And the constituency wants reform. They want reform. They want to see changes in the way that we collect our taxes and how much you get. A majority of what they want to see is homestead exemptions, either increased or, like, if you're 65 or older, get rid of it. You shouldn't have to pay property taxes anymore. So, well, I think you're going to see some really reasonable stuff land on the finish line.
And, of course, we'll see. You know, we're not there yet, but they haven't even started session yet. They're in preseason stuff right now, okay? But she says also one other thing, that business about the House joint resolution, Senate joint resolution, that they go straight to the ballot.
And just a quick little nudge, we intentionally created House joint resolutions because we know that it doesn't have to go to the governor.
Ooh. Michelle's holding everybody.
So that's not a bug, that's a feature of the design. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That, you know, again, that's one representative's perspective, but, you know, she seems fairly confident. So just another perspective into the mix about this whole property tax reform business. I'm Andrew McKay.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. Go here. Get there.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
And I'll go on down to New York, and if I can swing it, I'll get on his show and make a pitch to the guys myself. What do you think of it?
I think it's impossible, ridiculous, and insane.
Anything else?
Yeah. I wish I'd thought of it first.
So we just watched White Christmas yesterday, which is a very good movie, of course. Although I will say, you know, can't believe I'm going to do this, but there's a drag element. Remember the part where the guys dress up with the sisters and do their act?
Oh.
And
Andrew.
Well, look, it's in the movie.
Andrew.
And then there's pole dancing.
Andrew.
Remember when they're out on the in Florida, they're out on the back porch talking and they're dancing in the it's the superstructure around the pier or the dock, and they're
Andrew, it's not 5 a.m. anymore.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, you watch White Christmas with different eyes. And also, okay, I'm gonna, you know, do your traffic, and then I got a comment. John Pickens, that's traffic on the fives.
All right, no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like 90-98 Highway 29. I-10, I-110, all look good. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So we're in radio. So the way things sound when they sound wrong,
right?
We notice. I've never before watched White Christmas and been so triggered, I guess, by the sound mixing choice. Because for the whole movie, they're talking, and it's, you know, in-room mic, right? And then when they sing, it's studio quality, and they're lip-syncing. It's like watching the Macy's parade on the screen. You know, they go from...
Now I have to watch it just to see it.
And watch it for a minute. Right. Even the opening scene when they're, you know, in the World War II, you know, encampment having their Christmas thing. You know, he's talking, there's noises going on, and then all of a sudden, I'm... You know?
Wow, it's like, ooh.
And it's super perfect studio quality recording.
You know?
Funny. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Venezuela is requesting a meeting of the UN Security Council over what it's calling ongoing U.S. aggression. The request comes after President Trump announced a blockade on sanctioned oil tankers leaving and entering the country this week. A UN official said the meeting could happen next Tuesday. Ghislaine Maxwell is asking a New York federal court to reopen her sex trafficking conviction on the eve of the expected release of the Epstein files. Her lawyers are claiming juror misconduct, collusion, and other violations. She said new information from ongoing lawsuits shows key information in her case was withheld. I don't know if you heard about this story or not, but police in Biloxi have arrested a woman who's accused of putting razor blades into loaves of bread at two different Walmart stores there. 33-year-old Camille Benson was arrested on Tuesday. Her charge? Attempted mayhem. Her bond was set at $100,000. Apparently, customers started finding razor blades in loaves of bread they purchased at the Walmart Supercenter. Earlier this month, it happened at the Supercenter, then at another neighborhood market store. And
you know, historically, most of these stories turn out to be urban legends. You know, all of the things we were scared of in like the 80s and Halloween candy and all that stuff, they all never happened. That's crazy.
According to NBC, this one did happen.
Okay, wow. Also, I generally think of, you know, like aggravated mayhem is going to involve clown shoes. you know, and a squirt gun.
Right, like a squeaky
razor
nose.
Blades. Yeah, that's terrible. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, did you guys watch the Trump thing yesterday? Turned out not to be about Venezuela at all. Turned out to be just a, you know, 20-minute Trump rant is what it was. And I haven't been covering it a lot because my mom always told me that if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. So the next 2.5 hours of silence will be brought to you.
Sponsored.
By the, whatever it was, political campaign ad last night.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi.
11 months ago, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it.
President Trump delivering a pre-holiday primetime address, looking to highlight his successes his first year back in office as the calendar gets ready to turn to a midterm year.
Trump touted his efforts to make life more affordable, displaying the charts to prove it, and also announcing plans for housing reform.
The president says he raised so much money from tariffs, he's giving the troops a Christmas bonus.
The dollar amount has special meaning. 1776, in honor of the country's 250th birthday.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. And Pope Leo appointing fellow Chicago native Bishop Ronald Hicks to replace retiring Cardinal Timothy Dolan in New York. Dolan last week finalized a plan to establish a $300 million fund to compensate victims of sexual abuse who sued the Archdiocese. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 59 degrees right now with cloudy skies. We'll get to our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. We learned this week that Citizens Property Insurance is planning to drop its premiums statewide by more than 2% next year, but the insurer of last resort apparently won't be giving a lot of homeowners in Santa Rosa County a break. Rates there are set to increase by 5.5%, which would be an average increase of around $200. Citizens' rates in Escambia County are rising about 0.2%, with an average increase of about $5. Still, some Northwest Florida homeowners with Citizens could see rate decreases potentially. Statewide, Citizens is recommending an average 2.6% rate decrease for all non-commercial property insurance. Three people have been taken to the hospital after a serious motorcycle crash in West Pensacola. It happened on Wednesday evening at about 6:30 p.m. at New Warrington Road and Martha Avenue. Florida Highway Patrol is investigating, and they say they're working to get more details about what led to the accident. So far, no additional information has been released. A cantonment man is facing serious charges. Troopers say he was flying down Highway 29. FHP says they clocked 21-year-old Andrew Heck at 102 miles per hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone near Nine Mile Road. He was arrested under Florida's super speeder law. According to the report, Heck told the trooper he had no reason for driving that fast. Well, Florida's chief financial officer says local governments, well, they're just spending too much. He wants the authority to rein it in. CFO Blaise Ingolia is pushing legislation that would make the Florida Agency for Fiscal Oversight a permanent part of state government. A key piece of that proposal would be to protect whistleblowers who speak up about questionable city or county spending.
Grant government employees, government contractors, government subcontractors, and taxpayers whistleblower protection.
Ingolia is teaming up with Brevard County Representative Monique Miller on the bill. It would also allow the CFO to recommend the governor remove local elected officials if they're accused of financial mismanagement. Now, there's been a delay in the sentencing for the convicted would-be assassin of President Trump. This report from Joel Malkin. Or apparently not. The Department of Justice going after a Florida medical practice for illegal distribution of Adderall. The DOJ says it was a years-long $100 million scheme to market the drug, which is often prescribed to patients with ADHD, to people that didn't need it. Mindful Mental Wellness in St. Petersburg was hit with multiple charges, including conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud. The indictment claims that they conspired with a California telehealth firm to illegally distribute more than 40 million Adderall pills through aggressively promoting monthly online subscriptions. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile Road, both northbound and southbound, seeing some minor delays in that area. Also 98 eastbound through the Windhaven Beach, seeing about a 5-minute delay, and also 98 eastbound east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, experiencing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some wet weather as we head into your late morning and afternoon. 80% chance of some showers. Temperatures around 68 degrees for your high. Tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 62. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 43. Keeping some sunshine around for your Saturday, high near 67 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 59 and cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil prices are mixed on Trump's Venezuela blockade. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $55.95 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $59.61 per barrel. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors awaited inflation data, which will offer insights into the state of the U.S. economy. The 10-year Treasury was down 1 basis point at 4.135%. The 2-year Treasury yield declined by 2 basis points to 3.464%. Welcome to Exhausted America of 2025. Most adults are more than fine with doling out cash as gifts. A new poll says roughly 6 in 10 Americans say cash or gift cards are very acceptable as holiday presents, but they're much less likely to say that about a gift that was purchased secondhand or re-gifted. Futures are moderately higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 228, the NASDAQ down 418, the S&P 500 down 78. Once again, futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
CVS Health supports people in the moments that matter, from picking up a prescription to connecting care. With nearly 5 million daily interactions and serving 185 million consumers and 1.5 million healthcare professionals, CVS Health holds a trusted place in healthcare. By simplifying care and improving health, we're helping people get the care they need. Learn more at cvshealth.com/investorday.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Hey, I'm Sandy Zern, marketing and digital consultant with ADX Communications. I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Jeremy, the travel director here at ADX Communications, and I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And please get your copy in.
Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids!
Ho, ho, ho!
Are bright.
be shining. This is the night of the dear Savior's birth.
To substantiate what I'm saying, we surveyed 30 counties. We also called the state of Florida. And I will tell you that your policy as written is in line with the state of Florida and throughout the state of Florida. It is a good policy as written for drop payouts. And I believe that if Escambia County changes their policy, you are going to be an extreme outlier. This is going to cost you millions. And I don't think that's the fiscal impact that you're trying to have.
So, Clerk of the Court and Comptroller for Escambia County, Pam Childers, they're speaking during the Board of County Commissioners meeting last Thursday. I played some of that for you yesterday, maybe the day before, I forget when, anyway, and talked about how, first of all, I do not understand all the details, so I don't want to presume to be an expert. Number two, it sounds pretty bad, based on what she said. And so, three, let's understand what's going on. So, joining us now, we have Pam Childers, the Clerk of the Court and the Comptroller for Escambia County. Pam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Okay, so millions of dollars, a dramatic change in retirement, a proposed dramatic change in retirement for Escambia County employees, and it would make us an outlier. Help me understand. It sounds bad. How bad is it? What are you concerned about? What's going on here?
Probably this is what I'm concerned about, and I do talk fast, but when I'm at a meeting, I try to slow it down, so let me find a tempo that you can hear and understand. FRS pension members only have this option. It's a deferred option that it's a legislative opportunity, right? So during your 5 years, your last 5 years working with an FRS employer, you get to put your pension calculation monies into an account held by FRS that's paid out when you separate with your employer. So understand that part first. It's only for particular members. The problem started in 2014, and it started because the county had a big problem. They were taking over the jail from the sheriff, and they were trying to figure out lots of things, lots of costs, employees, certifications of employees, and needed employees to stay with them and maybe not go back to the sheriff's office or Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. They needed them as correctional officers. Many of them had large leave balances. How are they going to handle that? Let's say the sheriff has a different plan or something. That's what they were trying to solve in 2014.
Okay.
The HR director at that time, his name is Tom Turner, if you need to know it. He got there about 2012. He left about 2017, I'm guessing, early. So they did step one, and that is, let's move forward and change the BCC, the Board of County Commissioners, policy as it pertains to drop. So here's the policy language, just to help you understand language. Sell all of your PTO at entry up to the allowable limits. Sell all of your PTO at separation up to the allowable limits. This is while you're in drop. Or, this is what's added, use accrued leave to provide terminal leave to be approved. Allowable limits in that policy at the header states, this has to be set in your HR policy. It's a HR policies and procedures manual that also has to go to the Board of County Commissioners for approval. So what happened at that time is they did step one. They changed the board's comprehensive policy that says you can do these three things, adding or terminal leave. And I'd have to explain terminal leave to you. And that is, if you have leave on the books, you are considered an employee, but you're not coming to work.
That's where you stop working the last month of your employment and just get paid for it. That's terminal leave.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So that HR director did a lot of research about how are we going to handle this problem. So there is no doubt. There is lots of documents where he wrote policies. He changed the HR manual. He wrote notes. He gave backgrounds. He did research. He did calculations. But step two, actually changing the HR policy and going to the board for approval to set the allowable limits or to change the allowable limits did not happen. And it did not happen because they were solving the jail employee issues differently. And the county administrator at the time, Jack Brown, did not, would not take it to the board for change.
Okay.
It was a decision not to change the allowable limits. And with that, it didn't mean they had to go back and change the main policy, because all it says is you can do this up to the allowable limits. But the limits are set, and they were never changed.
Pardon me for asking the third grade question, okay? Have we been paying out more than we should have because the policy wasn't actually put into the HR manual? Or would this proposal make it so we're paying out more? I'm not sure which way the thing cuts. That's what I'm kind of confused on.
Okay. So at that point in 2014, because war terminal leave was added, in 2014 forward for several years, it was a case-by-case basis of approval, because terminal leave has to jump through hoops of approval.
Okay.
So this was not widespread knowledge that you could get paid 500 hours at the beginning of drop and 500 hours at the end. So it was very sparse, always sparse. Until about 2021, and you know, I think all hell broke loose in 2020. We had block voting in 2020 to 2021, 22, 23. There were a lot of things that happened in our county government and to our county as a whole and to America with the pandemic.
Sure. Well, and we also, and that was also the time frame when we were dealing with the ICMA stuff and the county commissioners and their retirement package, and which, I'll be honest, this sounds very familiar because, you know, Robert Bender discovers that he's has this thing that he did not realize. Then the other board members discover that he was getting it and they want it too. And that's where all of that, and it sounds very similar to that. You know, it's kind of occasionally implemented, very lucrative. And then everybody got wind of it and everybody tries to take advantage of it. Let me pause you there for a second, Pam, because I want to make sure we get the rest of this out. But we got to take a quick break. We're talking to Pam Childers, Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 90, 98. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, Pam, excellent. I feel like I'm about 70% tracking it all, even though you're doing your best to go slow for me. I appreciate it. So, and now what? Where are we now?
Okay. So we left 2014 for several years where this is sparse. In fact, I think there were comments of we're not really sharing this with everyone because they were only approving it for so many people for reasons. So it was contained. But in 2021, they got a new HR director. I can't remember the experience this person had, but it started saying, well, wait a minute, we are interpreting this board policy to mean this. And then we started seeing a lot more being paid.
Okay.
And so it was being pushed out through an interpretation of the HR director. This was not escalated to my finance director until 2023 when she contacted the county attorney because they're like, wait a minute, wait. There are limits. And you can't do this for everyone, and what is going on, you cannot interpret. The plain language of the policy says X that I read to you.
Okay.
The county attorney wrote, not a memo, but an email that stated, this is what you can do. And so at that point, my staff, a staff of four that pays $160 million payroll every year with lots of issues daily with payroll.
Sure.
Somebody always has a problem with something. So drop is just one more little bucket. At that point in time, decisions were made, okay, if that's what we're doing, then we will just automatically pay everybody on both sides. There weren't a lot. There were 8 people, I think it was, okay, at that point in time that you're paying out in drop. We have 109 people in drop now. So what happened currently in November is when I started a payroll review for a variety of reasons. We just go around and do reviews for their high-risk areas. My payroll department is, let's look at FRS pay codes. Let's look at drop, because that is not clear. So my finance director, she was the one that would oversee the research, the report, and I issued a report in November 7th, I think I sent it to the board. I did not hear, I'm going to correct you, I sent it to the chair. So the chair at the time was Mike Kohler.
Okay.
I did not hear back from anyone. No discussion, not from the county administrator, not from the chair. No discussion other than, thank you, we're looking at it. I think that was Mike Kohler. And the next thing that happens on December 11th, they've got a whole new policy, rescinding parts and making it very clear we pay at the front end and we pay at the back end. And the reason I said do not pass this, it's because they don't understand it, in my opinion. I don't think the board fully understands what's going on. So what has happened is we have interpretations by county HR that, oh, it was the intent in 2014. It was the intent in 2014. They were solving a big problem.
Got it.
When they got to step 2, they did not do it. They left in place the limits as stated, which is why I told them, you have a good policy. Don't do this.
Right.
And I think one of the commissioners, Stephen Berry, said, it's exigent. We have to do this. We have to do this now. We have to pay people out. And I'm like, no, you don't. You have a policy. Follow your policy. So this is interpretation by county leadership that forced the board to do a policy that they should have never done. They are outliers throughout the entire state of Florida. And quite frankly, I think county leadership failed the elected. I don't think they should have done this. It's very expensive.
How much money are we talking about? Because it seems to me like there's two issues. There's the money that has already been paid out under the policy that it should not really have been paid out, but the friends and family secret policy they were taking advantage of for a while. Then it became more widespread and everybody kind of jumped on, and I assume some of that has also been paid out. But it's going forward. Like, what volume of money are we talking about here? Is this $1 million? Is this $50 million? What are we dealing with?
Dealing with it depends on how many people are in drop. So, and typically, right now you've got a lot of higher ups in drop.
Right.
So well paid, right? Set it and forget it time. And so they build leave quickly, and then they get another bucket of leave and another bucket of leave. So maybe take it like this. A higher up or somebody in administration, whether you're talking about the county administrator, county attorney, they probably will make in their drop period $200,000. So
okay.
There you go.
Yep.
That's a per person. That's a higher up.
Yeah.
That's not saying everybody's going to get it. So it just happens exponentially, and there's 109 people in drop.
So the difference of this policy, one way or the other, is on the order of $10 to $20 million if you do the math.
It's a long period of time. Drop went from 5 years to 8 years.
Oh.
And
wow.
I really haven't calculated the number.
I gotcha.
I was trying to deal with policy language.
Yeah.
I'm just using a very simple example for you to understand that a government employee under this policy at the administrative level is going to leave with $200,000 in their drop period. Breaking that down, I would say the $500 equates for $50,000.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad I don't work in HR, because I still say I don't completely but I understand what went wrong, why we shouldn't have done what we'd done, and why it's going to be very expensive for us going forward. So thank you. I know you did your best to explain. It's complicated stuff, so I really appreciate that. And Pam, I told you I'd let you go because I know you got to run to catch a flight. Pam Childers is the Escambia County Clerk and the Comptroller. She's the one that's tasked with being the watchdog on all this stuff. And, you know, sometimes she finds things. And this does feel very much like the ICMA stuff, except now we're talking about 100 employees instead of two or three, which is, you know, oh my goodness. Well, Pam, thank you for explaining this. I had a whole other thing I wanted to talk with you about. We obviously ran out of time entirely, but thank you for paying attention. Thank you for explaining it to us. And feel free to keep in touch and tell me anything else I need to know as we go forward, okay?
Sure. Other link, property fraud. Go to Escambia Clerk website, type in property fraud, first link. Submit your forms if you own property in Escambia County for property fraud alert. That was our other topic.
Right, and it would let you know if somebody tries to illegitimately use or access your property, and they have to do some kind of a tag onto the records with Escambia County. This would be a way of notifying them, hey, somebody's fishing around with your stuff, so that you can take action to prevent it or act on it or whatever, right? That's the real short version of that.
That's the gist of it. We put it in place in 2023. It actually happened to me before this time. Somebody filed a $1 million loan against me. So had this been in place, I would have been notified by an email that something's been filed and attached to my name, and I could have researched it, called an attorney, whatever needed to happen.
Gotten ahead of it. Wow. Okay, so property fraud alert. That's the thing on the property, the county clerk's website. And that's what I just figured people didn't know about this because I didn't know about it, and I wanted to. I know we got to let you go, but how common is it, do you know, for people to have fraud in this of this sort?
It was made mandatory in July of 2024 by the legislature.
Okay.
It's counties like Lee County. There's a couple of counties that get hit with property fraud constantly. We don't feel it up here, but we will get documents filed against someone like myself. And it does happen,
okay,
but not like it does in counties in central and lower Florida.
Okay. It doesn't hurt to sign up. It doesn't harm you anything or cost you anything. So even though it might be relatively rare up here, probably worth the defensive prevention. Pam Childers, the clerk of court and the comptroller for Escambia County, thank you, as always, for the time. And Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you again soon.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye, Andrew.
Bye-bye. All right, John Pickens, I know you're an accountant.
Wow.
I mean, I know we got to take a break, but your thoughts?
It's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot.
All right.
But I'm glad that she's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't sound great, but I'm glad.
She's looking into it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, John, thanks so much. Time for traffic. Go ahead.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. 98 eastbound right through the Windhaven Beach area, experiencing about a 50 to 20 minute delay. I-10, I-110, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
But this sound wasn't sad. What? This sound sounded glad.
Well, they traveled over hills and mountains.
We're completely out of time. I apologize for that. But, yeah, this sounds pretty significant. It sounds like financial misdealings. It sounds like it was intentional. Therefore, some people knew about it and some people benefited from it. And I want to know who.
On air at 92.